It's good to see all of you this morning. We do have a number of visitors. We are so grateful that you have taken the time to come and be with us. And of course, those who have been sick, we're glad you're back. And a special appreciation to have both Leon and Ruth back with us through the difficulties that they have gone through over the past weeks and months, and not only the health-wise, but in the passing of their son. So good to see each one here this morning, as stated. Hope you're able to be back tonight at 6 o'clock as we come once again to worship God. I start out with this. A building is only as good as its foundation. It may appear good, but if the foundation is bad, the building is bad. Likewise, a person who identifies himself as a Christian may look the part. You may look the part. However, if the foundation is bad, when the rains, the floods, and the winds come, it will fall. And that's a fact. That's not something I made up. That's the truth. You can appear to be something that you're not as a child of God. But the test will come when trials come. So the situation for this morning, we are going to look at Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn there at this time. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 through 27. There we have recorded in Scripture, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Now, if we look at these two illustrations, you find that the rains and the floods came to both of them. The wind, rains, and floods came to both of them. But the only ones that stood were those who were upon the rock. So therefore, we're going to talk about the solid foundation. The foundation of standing upon the rock that the Lord has given for us so that we can withstand whatever comes our way. You know, as I look back into the Scriptures, as we turn to the next slide here, do you have anywhere in record where God's ever promised an easy life? You look at the Old Testament, God's people of times past. Can you count on two hands those who had easy lives? Can you count on one hand those who had easy lives? Can you count on one finger those who had easy lives? Nowhere in Scriptures, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament, does God ever show us from His Word that serving Him is going to give you an easy life on this earth. Quite to the contrary is being taught in the Scriptures. And therefore, even as we look today, 2023, and as we encourage people to become Christians, they need to understand it's not going to be an easy life. It's not going to be a life without heartache or without pain. It's not going to be a life where everybody's going to lift up your hands and just rejoice day in and day out because you're a child of God. It just doesn't work like that. It hasn't been in the Scriptures, and it's not going to be for you and I. It's going to be an easy life. Now, it's going to be well worth it. We're going to see this at the end of the study. But again, it's not easy. And that's the reason why we have to build on the solid foundation. Now, before we talk about that, let's look at some examples within the New Testament where our brothers and sisters in the first century, you would have to agree with me, did not have an easy life. As we begin, let's go to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we have recorded for us here, as we're going to be studying the book of Acts now on Sunday morning, but now you have the church being separated from Jerusalem in Acts chapter 8. And by the way, they weren't separated because they necessarily wanted to. They were separated because of persecution. We find in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, "Now Saul was consenting to his death," that's talking about Stephen's death in the previous chapter, "at that time," listen, not just simply some persecution, that's not what your Bible says. It says, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Notice, just not a persecution, but a great persecution. Verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. It was a very sad, sad thing to see Stephen die the way he died. Nevertheless, he was ultimately a victor, but that didn't take away of the sorrow at that time in his death. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering the house and dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. Therefore, verse 4, those who were scattered did what? Went everywhere preaching the word. Wow. First of all, it shows their commitment to the word of God. Second of all, they're preaching the word when they know it's not easy to be a child of God, but it's the right way to be. Right? Then they couldn't say, hey, listen, you become a Christian, everybody's going to like you. They knew better than that, didn't they? They were scattered because of persecution. But their understanding of who they became, God's children, they became God's children in the body of Christ, they continued on and spread the glorious gospel. Let's go on to another one. In Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. Being a child of God doesn't mean we are going to escape the physical things of life. This is illustrated for us in verse 27. In those days, the prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there's going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Again, here's a physical dealing, a famine. Now, wouldn't it be unique if the famine just focused on those who were not Christians? But it didn't work like that, did it? If you happen to be in the area where the famine is, you're going to suffer just like others, but you're going to be able to weather the storm because you're going to be on that solid foundation, which we're going to talk about at the end of the lesson. We've had physical things happen in the great state of Florida. One of the things we have down here that I didn't have to worry about in Illinois was hurricanes. I never had to worry about a hurricane coming through Chicago. Now, we had to worry about tornadoes, but not hurricanes. By the way, I was never in a tornado. I was in a backlash of a tornado. And I was never actually in a hurricane, but I've been in the backlashes of a, and I'll take a tornado anytime over a hurricane because a hurricane just goes on and on. But the point is this, whether tornado, whether hurricane, whether any other physical thing, if you happen to be in that area, are you going to suffer? Yes. Being a Christian means, hey, you're immune from that. Don't worry about it. No, you're going to have problems. That's why it's important that we have the solid foundation, that we are just not playing the game of Christianity, that we are building on that foundation. Let's go to another illustration. In 1 Timothy chapter 5. Timothy, a gospel preacher. Now, being a gospel preacher, he was well respected. But we find recorded for us in 1 Timothy an interesting thing. And by the way, and I'm not going on this topic this morning, but he's not justifying social drinking here. Don't run to this passage to justify that because you're misusing the passage. What he's saying in 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul tells Timothy, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake. And notice what it goes on to state. For your frequent infirmities. This wasn't a one-shot only deal, was it? It appears to me as I read that passage, this is something he had regularly. This is a faithful young gospel preacher. But he suffered a physical ailment. But he still had that solid foundation to move on. I think sometimes we get the misconception that, boy, when I'm baptized for the remission of my sins, everything's going to be just fine. Yes, between you and God. But everything's not going to be just fine because you live on this earth. And you're going to have to deal with things there. That is why we need the solid foundation. But let's go to a few more before we talk about that foundation. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 8. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now notice, he's writing this when? In the first century. Who was walking upon the face of the earth in the first century? The apostles. We have no apostles walking upon the face of the earth today. So if they had to beware, what about us today? Do we have to beware of the doctrines and teachings of men? We're going to touch on that tonight as we talk about a doctrine of man known as the rapture. You've got to beware of that. Again, if we have the solid foundation, we won't crumble. But if we don't have the solid foundation, we're going to get all mixed up as to what is right and as to what is wrong. Not going to be easy. So even today, 2023, we have to be aware of that. Let's go to another illustration. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. There it tells us here, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Now listen about the churches of Macedonia. That in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their what? Their deep poverty. I believe that's literally. Literally, they were in poverty. Abounded in the riches of the liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And they wanted to participate financially, physically, in the ministering to the saints, even though they themselves were in deep poverty. And how was that possible? Look at verse 5. And not only had we hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. They were willing to make that step beyond because they realized who they were and where they were going. Now here's Christians in deep poverty. I mean, couldn't God have said, okay, you become a Christian, financially everything's going to be hunky-dory. We'd reach a lot of people then, wouldn't we? But he doesn't promise that. You could possibly be in deep poverty to no fault of your own. We're in some strange times, aren't we? We should enjoy where we're at right now. We might not be physically, financially there a year from now. And I'm not a prophet of doom. Don't worry about it. You just take it a day at a time. But is that a possibility? You know, God forbid, I know we can't wrap our mind around this, but God forbid if this country was overtaken, forget about your IRAs. If this country was overtaken, forget about what you have in your safe deposit box. But be thankful you're a Christian. Now, I'm hoping that doesn't come. Understand me. I'm not a person of gloom and doom. But the point is, being a Christian, we can build that solid foundation that even if that was to happen to us, we can weather the storm. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we can weather the storm? Or do we just come play religion? Do we come play religion Sunday morning and come back, play religion Sunday night, play religion Wednesday, and it really doesn't have an effect on our life? I don't know about you, but it's my life. I have to depend on Christ. How about you? We need that solid foundation. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I like this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Think about this, if Paul put this as an ad to become a follower of Christ. How many people would he get to respond to such a thing? 2 Corinthians 11, verses 22 through 28. We have recorded for us, as you had those who are comparing themselves to Paul, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more. And labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times. Now, we don't have all the times, but here it says 5 times. I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides all the other things what comes upon me daily, is my deep concern for the church. Hey, I want to sign up for that. You get my point? Paul is not being arrogant. He's not trying to put himself on a pedestal. By the way, who would want that pedestal if he was? He's trying to point out that after he left Judaism, which he studied under the feet of Gamaliel, in which he was excelling, after he left that and became a child of God in Acts chapter 9, spoken of also in Acts 22, this is what happened. But you know what? He had the solid foundation that didn't cause him to leave. But let's just one more here, maybe two. We have Hebrews chapter 10. He said, well, that was Paul here. Those things were supposed to happen to him. Well, okay, let's leave Paul now and let's go to Hebrews. Again, I search my New Testament. And I don't ever find a time in my study of the New Testament where it says they were baptized and physically they lived happily ever after. Now, if you do have that verse, please point it out to me when you walk out of here this morning. I've not found that verse. Now, I found the verse, many verses, the value of being a Christian. But the value of being a Christian has never been based on the physical externals. It's based on the spiritual and inwardly. It's based on strength. Brethren, I want to stop for a moment. We better pay attention to that. We're in strange times. I'm not a prophet. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But we're in crazy times. Now is going to be the test in where you're rooted, where your foundation is. I'm worried there are going to be some Christians that are going to depart from the faith because they can't handle the trials that might come their way. Let's not you be named among that. Let's not I be named among that. As we look about Hebrews now in Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, talking about these people, well, we don't even have to know their names, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, which you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves where? In heaven. Verse 34 is an interesting verse. Could you imagine if someone plundered our goods? If someone took away our goods, something you've worked for all your life, and they took it away because you're a child of God, would you still be a child of God? But they would, because they knew they had something better awaiting them in heaven. I'm not saying they're happy these things are happening. There's got to be something wrong with your brain if you're happy that that's happening. But they were built on a solid foundation that those things happened and they stayed the course. That's the thing. Verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Keep your sights always focused. We talked about that this morning, of heaven. Enjoy what you can do now on this life, but remember, this is not our focus. Heaven is our focus. We've got to be built on that solid foundation. Now, one more thing. If that's not enough, there's one more thing I want to bring up. As a child of God, there's going to be people that don't like you. They're not going to like you. In fact, it's much stronger wording. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, oh, shouldn't we all get along? That'd be nice to get along. But trouble is, people are not going to like you. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, do not marvel, my brethren, if what? If the world hates you. They're not only going to not like you, this version says they're going to hate you. Why would anyone want to hate the Christian? Go back to the first century. What evil were they doing that they should want to hate them? Why would in 2023 someone that barely knows you, when they find out you're a Christian, that they look down upon you, they despise you, to the point of even possibly hating you? Why? Well, 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us the answer. Yes, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's the solution. That's the reason. You see, as a Christian, I can't go along with society. You know, and I'm not getting into politics. I don't care what your political beliefs are. That's none of my business. But one big political issue for the Christian should not be an issue. And that's abortion. Biblically speaking, that's wrong. And you tell someone of the other persuasion, and they're going to go nuts. They're going to go nuts. They're going to think there's something wrong with you. Am I not so? Let's take another issue. Man and woman living together, not being married. Bible calls it either or, fornication or adultery. Now we just said that's just what is done in 2023. And you say, oh, no, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. They're going to look down on you. Why, you bigoted, narrow-minded, religious person, that's why I don't like you. Am I not so? And I could give you a dozen other issues. But don't be surprised if there's going to be people not only dislike you, but despise you. Not because you think you're better than they are. Not because you've put yourself on a pedestal. It's because you have chosen to follow God's standard and you have absolutes. And in 2023, our society doesn't have absolutes. So besides all these other things, you're going to have to weather that storm. Now the point is this. If I don't have the firm foundation, do you think I'm going to weather those storms? No. So let's talk about the solid foundation. Remember what we read in Matthew 7, 24 and 25? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? And does them. Both heard. The wise man, the one with the solid foundation, did them. And I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it did not fall. Why? Not simply because they heard, but they put into practice what they heard. You know, let's take a foundation of a house. Oh yeah, I think it's a good idea to have 24-inch or 36-inch or 44-inch footings. But you know what? It's going to be a little bit too much money, so I'm going to start with 12-inch footings. Yeah, well, next time the windstorm comes, let's see how your building stands. Going to take more effort? Yeah. Going to take more money? Yeah. Going to take more time? Yeah. Is it worth it? Yeah. Okay, going to take more effort to put this into practice? Yeah. Going to take time? Yeah. Going to be worth it? Yeah. Because you know what's funny in this illustration? Storms come to both groups, those who serve him and those who don't. Now, maybe the persecution of Christians doesn't, because they're not a Christian, but do they have physical adversities? Do they have other pressures that come their way? Sure. You know, it's amazing that people just don't handle pressure anymore. Medically speaking, I don't know what's going to happen in this society. My own personal opinion, this is my opinion, you can take it or throw it away. If we go back to something like 2020, let's not follow what the government says. Let's stay open, brethren. Now, if you feel so concerned that your health is, stay home, but for those, the rest of us, let's get together. Because you know what? How do we get stronger than being together? Now, I could see some of you in the audience possibly bristling up, but you don't understand, Chuck. Listen to what I said. If you feel you couldn't come, don't. But God forbid we ever shut down the church again. Let's hope that don't happen. Let's have that solid foundation. And no, I don't think anything less of you. If you feel you've got too many medical problems, you can't come, then stay home. Then stay home. But for many of the body of Christ, I'm not saying here, they stayed home and never came back. They stayed home and never came back. How sad is that? I'm glad we can be on the internet. I'm glad those who are sickly, who don't need to be here when you're sick, that you can watch it from the video. But they've ran with it too far, have they not? Let's be careful on that. Let's keep the solid foundation. That's my opinion. You can agree or disagree. But let's go on. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we have recorded for us here in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, but we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because here's the key to the solid foundation. Your faith grows exceedingly. Now, before we read the next few verses, understand this. Their faith grew exceedingly in exceedingly difficult times. Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all the persecutions and tribulations you endure. Now, the only way I know one's faith grows exceedingly is going to the standard of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're not going to the Word of God on a regular basis, if you're not getting with those who are studying the Word of God on a regular basis, you might deceive yourself, but your faith's not growing exceedingly. And you can't just wait to the right time. When it's comfortable, I'll do it. I'll be confident. Tell you the truth. Are there times you possibly just don't want to study, but you have to force yourself to do it? But when you've done it, are you glad about it? Yeah, I am. I am. It's not always going to be easy. Your faith needs to grow exceedingly. There's going to be times, there's going to be difficulty amongst brethren, but you got to keep on being a part of the family of God, and your faith needs to keep on growing. You can't say, I quit. No, don't do that. You get my point? We're going to have that solid foundation. Only you can make that solid foundation for you, only I for me. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, as we talk about the seven churches, and by the way, if you aren't here for Bible class, you missed a wonderful Bible class this morning. I'll have to repeat some of it tonight. He's taken half my sermon, but that's all right. In Revelation chapter 2, we have recorded for us in verses 9 and 10, the church at Smyrna. Now, this was a good church. He says, for I know your works, your tribulation, and poverty. And again, I believe they're talking about physical poverty. But you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you might be tested, And you will have tribulation 10 days. Remember, this is a figure of speech, not 10 literal days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, we use that phrase, and I think rightfully so. We'll tell people, you need to be faithful unto death, and you get the crown of life. You and I would agree that's true, correct? But I believe in the context. I believe the context we're reading it from, my understanding in the actual context, when it says there that be faithful unto death, that you be faithful even if it requires your death. You're going to have the devil be battling with you. You're going to have this great turmoil with the devil. And some of you are going to lose your lives physically. You be faithful unto death and you're going to have what? A crown of life. Now, I believe that's the context. I believe the principle is, yes, we need to be faithful until we die. But they were under adverse circumstances, and they were saying, don't give up. Be faithful, even if it would require your death. Well, the only way we're going to do that, brethren, is if we have a solid foundation. And that solid foundation is in Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, I really don't care if you remember my name or remember me. All I care about is that I can bring something from God's word that you remember that word and it helps you to have a stronger foundation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, as Paul talks about what he went through, again, we have recorded of Paul as he's describing his life. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that's his physical body, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now listen, verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed. You ever been perplexed? But not to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also might be manifest in our body. For we who believe are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. In other words, as he was trying to share Christ with others, they were facing the possibility of death. They were facing all these persecutions. They were perplexed on many occasions. They were, you ever been crushed? You ever think the walls are coming in on you and just going to crush you? He said that's how he felt. How did he get through that? Are you interested in how he got through that? He tells us right in this chapter. Go down to verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Now remember, 7 through 12, what he just said he went through. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, that's our physical being, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. What are we talking about? Solid foundation. How are we going to have that solid foundation? Renewing the inward man day by day. And we do that in knowledge. Again, brethren, I can't stress enough. It's none of my business, your study habits. You don't have to tell me anything. It's none of my concern. But I want to suggest to you, if this book we're studying this morning stays closed until next Sunday morning, you're creating problems for yourself. You need to be renewed on the inner man day by day. And I don't know what format you're going to study or what change you're going to make, but if you don't do it, start doing it. Again, I have no right to tell you how much time or where or how, but I'm just telling you this. If you want the solid foundation, this book can't stay closed throughout the week. It's interesting, the other day, I was going to Sam's because I like to get bulk stuff, so I've got plenty in the house. And when I was going into Sam's, it's not unusual. And again, this past week I saw it. There's a Bible sitting on in the car on the front. Of course, the sun came down, so the pages are warm. And I think, how many times does that happen, that people get their Bible Sunday, leave it in the car, and the next Sunday, there it is. That's not day by day. That's once a week. That's not good enough. Day by day. Now, maybe they have 10 other Bibles that they're studying from. That's a possibility. But you know what? We have to go day by day. It goes on to state this. Look at verse 17. For our light affliction. Wait a minute. Go back to 7 through 12. Did verses 7 through 12 sound like a light affliction? Not from a fleshly standpoint, but when you're looking at it from a spiritual standpoint, it's a light affliction. You know why? It's temporary. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Got to have our mind focused. We've got to have that solid foundation. We've got to know where we're going and how we're getting there. We've got to weather the storms. The storms of life are not fun. You're not enjoying it when you're going through a storm of life, but if you want to weather the storm, you've got to have the solid foundation. I've got to have the solid foundation. Time's sake, we're dropping all the way down to third one. I get the permission to do that because I'm up here and you're down there. So you can look at those other passages privately. But let's close off this morning by going to 2 Peter. And 2 Peter chapter 1. Appreciate your kind attention this morning. I'm not here to berate you or to berate me. I'm just here. Brethren, we're in strange times. And I hope you have the solid foundation. And I'm not the solid foundation. God's Word is the solid foundation. And you got to feed on that foundation on a day-by-day basis. And you got to make it incorporated in your life on a day-by-day basis. I think this is one of Joe's favorites. Every time I go to this passage, I think of Joe. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, but also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now, by the way, if you don't know what to study, there's some good things to study right there. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Listen to verse 10. For if you do these things, what? You will never stumble. There's the solid foundation. So we close. Is Jesus and his teaching the foundation of your life? If not, make those changes. Number two, maybe he is the teaching and foundation of your life, but maybe there's some cracks in that foundation. You ever see cracks in a physical foundation? What happens if you let it go? It just goes away, right? No, it gets bigger to the point it creates more problems. Where I worked in Berwyn, not Berwyn, I'm sorry, Bridgeview, before Berwyn, they had a basement, as did Berwyn. But Bridgeview had a basement with cracks in the wall. And, of course, when we had a lot of rain, what do you think happened? Water got in. But it didn't bother them. Well, 4 years later, it wasn't just a little bit water on the bottom. It got higher and higher and higher. Well, why is that? Because there's cracks in the wall. You don't have to be a genius to figure this one out. How are we going to solve that? Oh, that's not hard. You're going to have to get someone who knows to deal with those cracks. And they need to be taken care of. Are there cracks in your foundation? Spiritually speaking? Then here it is. In fact, here's the passage. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Are we doing that, people? Are we doers? How's your foundation? You're going to go through trials. Bottom line, you're going to weather the storm? How many people try to drown out their trials by drinking? It makes more problems, does it not? It's very sad. I've had on occasion, I had to preach a lesson for a young 23-year-old whose trial so overwhelmed him, he took his life. I had to preach that funeral, one of the biggest attended funerals I've ever preached. one of the saddest funerals I've ever preached. The problem is, and I don't know what his trial was specifically. I've got some ideas. But I know this. He thought there was no way out. In fact, he thought that was the only way out. People, here's the way out. Here's the way out. I feel bad for our military personnel. Do you know one of the problems with our military personnel is suicide? Well, I understand. I've never been in the military, but my son has and others. They go through a lot of stress. Tell you what, if you don't have the solid foundation of God's word, you got a problem. You got a problem. And it's not just the military young man, it's all of us. We all have trials. Build on that solid foundation. First, by becoming his child, by repenting and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And then, keep on growing. And quite frankly, you'll have some good days and some bad days. There's some days I'm not happy with myself. But if God gives me another day, I can try to do better the next day. Don't ever rest in the past. Keep on moving forward as we stand and as we sing. Great Christ, dear Lord, my